Good morning, church. Good morning, 10:30 venue. The 9 o'clockers have already come and they've done what they do and they're on their way. But you're here and the Lord is going to meet with us in ways that we have not imagined, I promise. So we're feeling up a little slow today. We know that it is a long holiday weekend. I wonder how many people took Monday off too, you know, just to be sure they could have a nice long exhale. Those that the Son has set free are free indeed. And this is the week, we call it Independence Day on the 4th. And I don't know about you, but I have found that the greatest joy in life comes from being dependent on Jesus. And I'm glad that we live in a free land and all of that, but I am so glad that I'm not left on my own, that I can depend on Jesus. Can I get an amen? Anybody believe that today? Well, today is a special service, and those who are coming in late may wonder what's going on, but at least you'll know. So look to the person next to you and say, today's a special service. Ever so often, the Lord just places on my heart for us to have a service where we just seek Him throughout the service on purpose. We call it a Gethsemane gathering. The reason for that is when Jesus was in that grove of trees, those olive trees called Gethsemane, He had His three closest disciples, Pete, Jim, and John. They were there with Him. And He asked them to pray with Him. And they kept falling asleep. They lost focus of Jesus. And at the end of that, He said, "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" So the idea was, could you not pray with me? Could you not seek heaven with me for 1 hour? And so periodically, we try to give that hour back to Jesus that was lost in the garden. And we do that in our lifetime, of course, in the local context. And so that's what today is about. Now, what does that mean? That means from the very first onset of this service, these altars are particularly open today. These altars will not electrocute you. They won't hurt you. If you come and kneel at them, I want to touch them for you, just in case you're wondering what happens up here. These altars represent the feet of Jesus. This is the mourner's bench, a place where maybe your heart is broken and you just come and sit or kneel, whatever you want. But these altars represent opportunity for us, a place for us to come and to seek the Lord, the altar. The place in the Old Testament of sacrifice, the place where we place our lives before the Lord and say, we belong to You. Help us. We need hope that comes only from You. So these altars are open throughout the whole service, particularly today. You can turn your chair into an altar if you prefer. There will be other opportunities throughout the service. So we will receive at one point Holy Communion. And there will be another point where you have an opportunity today to be anointed and have someone pray over you a prayer of grace and mercy, healing, wholeness, whatever. All the songs have been chosen as prayers for us today. So much of the praying will happen during the singing and the time of worship. Also, today is a special day because I've been wanting to do this for a long time and I finally pulled it off. But my brother, Pastor Tim McElvoy, and his wife, Amy, and their daughter, Caitlin. All I know is she's beautiful. They are here today. They pastor the local New Beginnings Church. Pastor Tim and I have worked across ministry lines a lot. And I just said, won't you come one Sunday and just be with us? And they're here today. Would you all stand and let us greet you properly? So wonderful to see you. And Tim will have a part in the service too, but he left his fellowship today in the able hands of Steve Wingfield, and he came to be here with us today. So I appreciate the sacrifice of your time and your life here today. And so today we're going to seek God from the get-go, where we've got a new sense of unity from the community, and I believe that God wants to honor Himself today in our very lives. I want to begin by just talking about two words, forgiveness and faith. You know, sometimes they go together this way. There's a story in the New Testament where a man brought his son to Jesus. He was desperate for his son to get a touch from Christ. And The man said to Jesus, I believe, but help my lack of faith. Help my unbelief. It was a prayer that Jesus would forgive him for not having faith like he needed. And so today, maybe that is where we begin. Maybe you need forgiveness from God, or maybe you need to forgive someone else. But if you're dealing with any sense in the word forgiveness, maybe you just want to say, God, I want you to forgive me for not believing that you are able to help me in my situation, like the man in the New Testament did. So the altars are open, and the first song even talks about coming to the altar. And so I invite you today throughout the service, nobody's going to get hurt. Everybody can get help and hope. But you can respond in the way you choose to respond. But I do believe today is a day, if we make movement toward God, just in a sense of humility, that he can do things that we cannot imagine. So today we say, Lord, help our unbelief. Forgive us when we have not believed that you're able to be our God and to take care of the things in our lives that need your care. Let's welcome him now. And I welcome you. If you like to pray, you can come before the music ever begins and you can kneel. But there's no pressure. It's all pleasure.
Jesus is calling.
True. He will never fail us. Thank you, Father God. Today I pray that you will save us from distance, that we would be drawn nearer to your heart today. You have said that if we seek you with all of our heart, we will find you. And today, Lord, we are banking on that promise, and we believe it's all true. The next idea that I want us to pray around, two ideas, the idea of family and the idea of fear. I wish I could explain it the way that it really is magnified in my own spirit, but when I was just a boy, I dealt a lot with fear and cowardice and timidity and all of that, but whenever I was in the presence of my dad, all of that disappeared. I never remember one time, I've tried to recount in my mind, if I ever felt fearful in the presence of my dad, what I mean, that someone could come against him in some kind of way to harm me. I never ever remember feeling that fear or that cowardice or that timidity because I belong to my father. Now you may or may not have had that in this lifetime with an earthly relationship, but that does not keep it from being true in the spiritual relationship. You can still know this. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy 1:7, we read, King James Version, "For God, God the Father, has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And a couple of Thursdays ago on the evening, my wife and I made our way to the high school auditorium out at Eastern. And they were having the Renew Camp, and I wanted to go primarily because I wanted to hear the preacher. It was Reverend Adrian Mills that was going to be bringing the message. But I told Kim that afternoon, I need this service. We need to go, and we did. And we went, and we made our way in that vast pool of young people, and we sat way up in the back. I put my white head in the back so I wouldn't be a distraction to all those young'uns, you know. But during the worship, this song that we're going to pray next, that has to do with this idea of family and fear, something broke loose wonderfully inside of my heart. And I don't usually prefer my voice that much in singing, but that night I loved my voice in this song because I knew that God had broken something loose beautifully in His presence. And we were desperate, Kim and I, just to worship God that evening, and He met us there. And I want you to know that if you're dealing with any kind of fear or cowardice or timidity, that you have a Father. And because you belong to Him, you don't need to live in that spirit of bondage. There is a passage also in Galatians 3 and verse 26. It says, you are all God's children by believing in Christ Jesus. So if we have placed our belief in Christ, we just don't believe about Him, but we believe in Him. We are God's children. So we're going to pray the song. Altars are still open, but we're going to stand. I don't think you can sing this sitting down. So enjoy your voice on this song. I pray that God will cause something beautifully to break loose within you, and you'll know that is true.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, of all my fears are gone. I know I am
think it'd be okay to applaud heaven. It's all true. It's all true. You know, we have a friend. His name is Jesus. He's not just a friend. He's a king. He knows us, and we know him. At least we have that opportunity to know him. We're going to have a couple of things here, these next two prayer songs. I'll let you be seated for just a moment. The first song is going to talk about our friend Jesus. And we have the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper set up in different areas of the room, as we often do. And no greater love hath anyone, Jesus said, than he would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus gave his life. It wasn't taken. He gave it. It was an offering. Because he knew unless he laid his life down, we would have no way to be reconciled with the Father and with heaven. And so he laid his life down. And on the night before he would be crucified, he gave us this symbolism that we would not forget, that by his body and by his blood, we could be adopted. We could be brought back into right relationship with Father God. And so during this first song today, the tables are open. We don't fence the tables in the Church of the Nazarene. Now, let me qualify that. This is the Lord's Supper. It's not mine. It's his. He instituted it. In fact, he said, do this in remembrance of me. So it is a command in essence. But do not receive the communion elements if you do not want to be in right relationship with God. That's what it's all about. It's a big price that was paid, and it's a big blessing. But if we were to take the elements in some other way with some other mindset, we wouldn't be receiving the blessing. We'd really be opening our life up to cursing. And that's not his intention. His intention is to bring us near to himself, even to place himself within us. My body, my blood, take this. Let it be inside of you, symbolizing that I live in you, that I am your life. So today, there are kind of four ways we can approach the table. Maybe all four, but first of all, we come in remembrance because we know that this is all true and we want to celebrate it. We want to remember it. The second idea is that we want to recommit, perhaps. Perhaps in your life there's been a time when you were nearer to the Lord than you are today, and you don't want that to be so. You want to be nearer to him now than you were yesterday. And so you come in recommitment that your love will not wax cold, but it will begin to flow again. You won't be distant, but you'll be drawn near. Then there's this third idea. We come in repentance. Today, if you are living in sin and you're willing to turn your back on that life and to live for him, you can say, remember me, Jesus. Remember me, and come and turn your back on everything that is displeasing to him, all darkness. And today receive him as your Savior. Let him save you from what's killing you, what's destroying your soul. You can come to this table in repentance if you're sincere and you really mean it. And finally, perhaps you just need to be reclaimed. There was a time when you were at his table. You were sharing communion, sweet communion, close communion, but you disobeyed and you walked away. You chose to leave the relationship, and you've been really the prodigal, the runaway child of God. But today you've had enough of that. You've had enough of that prodigal lifestyle. You want to come home. You can be reclaimed today. If by faith you come for forgiveness and to be reconciled through the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to sing about the friend. And then as soon as that song ends, back in the back under the Holiness Unto the Lord sign, if you would like to be anointed today, there will be people waiting back there. You just go to the next one that's vacant. You don't have to tell them what you're praying about. They're just going to agree with you as you pray. Maybe you need a fresh touch from God. Maybe you need a physical touch or an emotional healing, or maybe you need a spiritual healing. Maybe you need relational healing, or your resources are all broken and you're overwhelmed. Then I would invite you to make your way quietly to the back and just wait for the next person. Just move in front of them. And they will take the word from James where it says, if any are sick among you, in other words, if you need healing in your life, come to community. And let someone anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith and see what God does. So we're going to sing first about our friend, and then our friend who is the king. And the king can help the subjects. He's already died for us. What now will he withhold from us? Let's seek him by faith. The tables are open.
Like no other.
Matthew 18 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Where two or three have come together in my name, I am there among them." He also said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, "In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor." And so some have already began to seek the favor of God through anointing in the back. And I just want to remind you that He promised, yes, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords promised, that when we would gather in His name, the King would be among us. He's here.
Surrounds us, and His fire is falling as we sing.
among us. His glory surrounds us. His fire is falling as we sing. And the Savior is for us. And His love is victorious. And revival is rising in His name.
Let's sing it one more time.
And the King is among us. And His glory surrounds us. And His fire is falling as we sing. And the Savior is for us. And His love is victorious. And revival is rising in His name.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Holy, holy, holy. The King is among us. We are in the beauty of His holiness. Praise His name. You can be seated. I'd like for us to pray, though, continue to pray now for the McElvoy family. Tim, Pastor Tim, you can make your way. But we'll just stretch our hand over here toward Caitlin and Amy. Just kind of put your hand in this direction, right where his family's sitting. And I'll cover Brother Tim right here. Lord, today we are so glad that we're not in this journey alone. Sometimes, as local church, we become like Elijah. And we cry out, we're the only one left. And you remind us that there are 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And Lord, I thank you for Pastor Tim and the New Beginnings Church. I thank you for the Spirit of God that lives in him undeniably. I pray for his precious wife and daughter today. We just pray blessing upon the family. We don't know what their need may be, but we know that your ability to meet it is greater. So we pray a blessing upon them, that they will know how valued they are, that they would know that they are children of the living, loving Father God, and that we are their brothers and sisters. And today, as they come to bless us with their presence, we bless them by saying, Lord God Almighty, meet them where they are and journey forward with them. And the people said, amen. I've asked Brother Tim to come and share what God's placed on his heart. Let's open our hearts and hear what he's going to say to us through Tim, Pastor Tim.
Thank you, Pastor Kerry, for the invitation to be here. I'm humbled and honored. Thank you for your friendship, your mentorship, your leadership through the years, co-labor in Christ, you and Kim, and this wonderful church. You truly are a beacon of hope in the Shenandoah Valley. And I've already been touched deeply by what God has done here this morning. Speaking of the valley, what a great place to be born. What a great place if God in His sovereign grace called you to be here, to look at the beauty that surrounds us once we go outside these doors. Everywhere you look at something to marvel at God's creation. And what a great place to work, to worship, and to raise a family. But a valley can be a difficult place at times, too. The psalmist wrote that, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. But we want to believe and proclaim today that the valley is a place of great victory. And a story comes to us of victory out of the story of King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. As 2 Chronicles chapter 20 opens, Jehoshaphat is faced with a great dilemma. There's a three-nation alliance that has come together, and their purpose is to kick God's people out of the land of their heritage, out of the land of their inheritance. And you see, Jehoshaphat, prior to this, had entered into an unwise alliance with King Ahab. And all of you know Ahab. He and Jezebel were some of the most wicked people to ever rule and reign over Israel. And it nearly cost him his life. And he learned from that, that the next time that he would be faced with a situation where he didn't know what to do, he was going to turn to God. And he did that. He called a solemn assembly, something akin to what we're doing today, and called for the people to fast. And he began to remind the people of God's covenant that he'd made with them through Abraham and how many times God had delivered them time and time again. And he came to the conclusion that, God, we stand at this place with this great people against us, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Well, God had an unconventional way of delivering the folks that day. And as the people gathered together, a young man named Jehaziel. And you say, Jehazi who? I said the same thing. Jehaziel, unheralded and unknown. But he was God's man with God's message for that day. And he spoke to the people and he said, this is a day that you won't have to fight the battle, for the battle belongs to the Lord. And God began to unveil a very interesting plan that rather than having the archers or the foot soldiers or the charioteers go out and engage the enemy in battle, this would be a place where the band would go forth. The praises would go out, and they would sing a very popular song, Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And as they came to the place called the Wilderness of Tekoa, and God led them to a vantage point where they were able to look out, and rather than seeing armies that were arrayed against them, they saw that God had already taken care of them. For the Ammonites rose up against the Moabites, and the Moabites rose up against the people of Mount Seir. And each eye took out the other eye till all that was left was the people of God. And it took 3 days to gather up the spoil. And on the fourth day, Jehoshaphat gathered the people together again to thank God and to honor him. And what was once a wilderness was given a new name that day. It was called the Valley of Blessing. I believe in the church. I believe in the church Big C, the one that was established on the day of Pentecost when God infused the church with his spirit and with his fire. And that fire has spread throughout all the world, and it's engulfed you and me and taken us up in it. I believe in the church with a little c that has its many representations in different places throughout our valley. The one that meets here at the First Church of the Nazarene. The one that meets across town where my friend Steve Wingfield is preaching about right now. Let's pray for him. And that on days like this, we come together and we say that the main thing is the main thing, and that's the kingdom of God and that his will be done. Jesus told his disciples that that's what they were to pray in the model prayer. That after we acknowledge the holiness and the sovereignty of God, let's remember that our purpose and our mission is to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I've been in this valley practically all of my life, and I've appreciated the values that have been instilled in me through my relationships here, through the partnerships and the friendships that God has been so gracious to allow me to have. But I don't believe God has done his best work yet, and the best is yet to come. And I'm believing, along with all of you, that revival is yet to hit our nation and our land. And I can think of no better place than for it to begin right here in the Shenandoah Valley, and for it to begin with me and to begin with you. And so join with me today in praying and believing and proclaiming that, yes, revival is coming, that revival is here. And perhaps maybe our strategy going forth is less preparing and more praying. And part of our praying ought to be assailing the gates of hell, because Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, as he assembled his disciples together, and he said, behold, I will build my church. That's the big C and the little c. And behold, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we can assail the gates of hell, and we can plunder hell to populate heaven. And we can believe and say that, Satan, you've held our friends, you've held our loved ones, you've held people in captive and bondage for too long, give them up. And the gospel will go forth and do exactly what the gospel is designed to do, and that's to set men free. I pray and proclaim today that it happens in you, it happens in me, and so be it. The last words of the Epistle of Jude are a benediction, but I think they're more than that. I think they're a descriptor of who God is and what he'll do. Now, to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the glory of his presence with great joy, to our God and our Savior, to who alone is wise, to him be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Amen.
Love you, Pastor Tim, and we're so glad that you took time to be with us today, and I know God's going to honor it. And if I'd have known your girl's coming, we'd have made her sing. I've heard her sing, so we'll get that later. Round two.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Let's have a hand for the McElvoys. Pastor Tim sent me a text this week, and he said, I'm thinking 2 Chronicles 20. Does that witness with you? He had no idea that when I put this service together, that was the passage that directed me. I shared it with the church board a few days back and told them that the Lord had said, I'm glad that you're praying, but how about praising me some more? And I want to thank our praise band, our worship band. I picked these songs out and threw them at them and said, these are the ones we need. And I know it was a heavy dose of music, but let's just have a hand for the band who goes ahead of us today. And I do appreciate Jeff and the others bringing this together today, because it's given us an opportunity. We're not done. We have a prayer that goes along with this idea of his kingdom. And let's stand and let's pray it as we sing. And then there's going to be another song that says this kingdom is not just going to be about now. It's going to be about forever, because our king is forever and his kingdom is forever. So I believe that you'll have ample time to still worship the Lord. So during either of these songs, if you have not partaken of communion and you would like to, you can do that. If you would like to use these altars to come and do further business, or maybe you have some unfinished business with God, I invite you to come and kneel at any time. But let's sing these songs as prayers and praise.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. In us we pray, unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church, we need your power. First, we hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our lives, for your joy and rise, to see the captive hearts release, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's goal.
great song to seek the Lord on here. One last opportunity to seek the Lord, the forever King who knows that we are His.
Hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Our King is a Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. God had a plan to bring us home, to give His Son so that we could find reconciliation with heaven. What a gift. Be seated just for a moment in His presence. Pastor Adrian is going to come and help us now with the tithes and offerings and some other things.
Amen. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. Well, thank you. Ushers are now making their way to get into place to help us this morning. Thank you, ushers. And thank you, church, for your faithfulness during these summer weeks and helping us continue to carry the mission of Jesus in this community and beyond. Would you continue to pray? Let's bow our heads and just continue to give thanks this morning. Father, we are debtors today. But we thank you today that we have a great gift and freedom because of the name of Jesus. Thank you today that in this room, right now, today, we celebrate that chains are being broken. We thank you, Lord, that hope is being restored. We thank you that there is healing, Lord, underway today in this room because of your work in your people. And we sing, hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome. We're grateful. And we don't choose just to worship with our words. Although you're worthy of that, Lord, we also want to give you our lives. We want to give you what we have. And so now we give back to you what we have, whether it's little or much, Lord, and just ask that you would take these gifts that we give, our tithes, our offerings today, and use them for your kingdom here and around the world. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is on the move and we get to be a part of it. We are so grateful. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, ushers, for helping us this morning continue in worship. On the screen behind me, you'll see what's going on this week in the life of our church. If you want to know everything that's happening, you'll turn to beaconofhope.org or Facebook or other places where we will keep you updated. But here's a few specific things we want to make sure that you're aware of. We want to celebrate today three of our awesome quizzers that went to the World Quiz in Indianapolis, and they are all-stars. Don't they look like all-stars? I think you should give them a hand this morning. We celebrate them. That's awesome. Well, we also want to make sure you're aware of our women's ministry that has a worship night out on the farm coming up July the 8th. And women, you will want to be a part of that if you've been a part of one of the events in the previous months, or if you haven't, you are invited. And so come, there's details behind me on the screen, and contact Anna Spears if you have questions or you need some more information. I'm sure there'll be a s'more in your future if you show up, so that's enough reason to come and want to worship on that evening. Finally, Salvation Army is doing what they're calling Christmas in July. So you know that we are a big part of trying to partner with our brothers and sisters at the Salvation Army, not just at Christmas time ringing the bell, but throughout the year. And this is an opportunity for them in the summer to try to raise a little bit more funds for the ministry that they're doing. So if you'd like to help ring a bell or serve in some other ways, there's information on the screen that you can contact them and get connected. At this time, I'm going to ask you to take your worship attendance pad located at the end of your row. And if you're new or visiting with us, don't be alarmed. This is a way that we just get some information from you, whatever information you would trust us with. And it's also a way that you can get some information from us. So if you have prayer requests or needs or things, ways that we can help get some information to you, please take a minute and fill that out and pass it down the row. Thank you so much for being with us. And for those watching online today on Facebook Live, thanks for watching. We're glad that you're here.
Amen. Yes, sir. To all of that, thank you, Pastor Adrian. A couple of dates this coming Saturday from 9 to 11. Those of you who have been or like to be a part of Project Galilee Local, those who are articulating the call of God on their life, and also those of you who have been part of the Holy Hour in the past, that's going to be a mixture this Saturday, 9 to 11. We'll have a light breakfast for you, but we'd love to have you stop here by the church, and we're having a great day of fellowship there in the morning. And also, speaking of Project Galilee, we're going to be having a revival season. If you would all mark your calendars, July 20 through 23rd, we're planning some real special things so that we can have a season of summer revival. So if you'll hear more coming up in the weeks ahead, but July 20th, that's a Thursday through Sunday morning, we're going to be having some special opportunities that we would correct the spiritual slippage in our lives and have a time of returning ourselves completely to the Lord during revival. A lot like what we've done today. So hope that you'll be part of that. Just a few announcements that I would like to make. I would like to make an introduction. Our friend from Germany, 10 or 11 years ago when I was making one trip over there, Grayson was with me for a summer project. We met a young lady at our table. Her name was Anna Mona. And she is a German lady, young lady, a teenager then. And she has since become a very integral part of the KIA Church in Action, they call it, in Germany, and works alongside the Zimmerman brothers, you know, Philip and his brother Chris and their father Hans. Well, Anna Mona was in need of a little bit of, you know, exhale and some time of refreshment, and they thought they would just send her to us for a few weeks. So Anna Mona, would you stand and let us greet you? Would you welcome Anna Mona? It's amazing. While we were introducing, Pastor Joe and I were just sharing notes about how God works. Just unbelievable. I just came from the General Assembly. I was fortunate to be a delegate there. And it wasn't a vacation. It was work. It's kind of like Congress, except we actually passed some things. If you're in Congress, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying I heard that on the media. But anyway, we have some new general superintendents. We had two who retired. And so we were able to vote on these six world leaders. We are now in 162 world areas, the Church of the Nazarene. This past quadrennial, 4 years, 850,000 people came to know the Lord through the Church of the Nazarene. I think we can, we're on the small end of something big. But this, of course, is Dr. DeWart, who is from Cape Verde Islands in Africa, Western Africa. He's been in our church before. And he was one of our remaining generals. David Graves, who was our discipleship chairman across USA Canada, he's going to continue in the capacity. Of course, he's USA. My dear friend David Busick, he's been the chairman of the board this past year, a great leader from Oklahoma. When you're around him, you sense the presence of the Lord like you do them all. This is Brother Gustavo Crocker, who is from Guatemala. And is one of our world leaders. And these two are the two that newly elected. This is Brother Philo Chambo from Mozambique. And I'm just telling you, when Mozambique gets an election, there's great celebration on the floor of the assembly. And Carla Sundberg, who is the first second generation general superintendent, her dad Gerald Johnson, who started the work in Germany for the Church of the Nazarene, was elected as general. She also started the work in Russia for the Church of the Nazarene. I've been told that these six together speak somewhere between 15 and 20 languages, and none of them overlap. They all speak something different. So God is equipping us for the future and for the world. I think it would be okay to applaud something that God is up to. And I'm telling you, our board is starting to look like who we are. And it's a beautiful thing to see God do this internationally. Well, I could say a lot more, but the lunch awaits, and I don't want to be the one who canceled lunch. So if you will stand, I would like to say this morning, just on personal privilege, that there is a young lady in the congregation. She looks just like she did when I met her. Janae McClure has been our bookkeeper, our financial bookkeeper here. I think it's just under 20 years. She got an opportunity that came her way, and she prayed about it and felt like it was too good to turn down. But I think it's about 19 years Janine has been our financial bookkeeper. So Janine, would you raise your hand over there and let us see who you are? Talk about an offering. Janine's like my baby sister. I mean, that's the only way I can explain Janine. But she said, don't worry, I'll be here Sundays. So Janine, we thank you for your life and the way you've laid it down and served this local church in such a beautiful capacity. You too, Bill, and we love you girls. And we pray the best for you, that God will give you your best days yet. But you're going to miss me, but other than that, I pray that God will give that to you. Let's close today's service praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The well is open if you'd like someone to pray with you today in the foyer. First-time friends, please stop under the Holiness Under the Lord sign and be greeted there properly. And celebrate recovery. Still underway, 6:30. If God is calling you, say yes.